Now, a private member's bill designed to limit petrol sniffing by forcing a switch to unsniffable opal fuel in high-risk areas has failed to win the backing of a Senate committee. Instead, that committee wants the government to consult with the states and the territories on the possibility of national legislation to mandate the supply of low aromatic fuel, while more work is done on the details of how to implement that. What does this mean for those working pretty urgently and hard to control petrol sniffing? Tristan Ray is Policy and Project Manager for the Central Australian Youth Link-Up Service. Tristan, good evening.
Good evening, Jonathan.
Disappointing outcome today?
It is and it isn't. I think while the result today, the lack of support for the bill that's in front of the Senate is a bit disappointing, the report overall comes out in favour of the need for this legislation and prescribes some conditions under which the Senate committee at least saw that it could move forward. So we're quite hopeful in that sense. In a way, there's not really a critical word in the report against the core idea of this legislation.
Not a rejection, but as Greens Senator Rachel Seaworth suggests, maybe this result today is a shorthand for doing nothing.
We certainly would like to see it happen quickly. We, you know, in this process, we've brought mothers and grandmothers from affected communities to Canberra and also to present directly at the Senate inquiry. And that, more than anything, reminds me of the urgency of this situation, that there are real people sniffing now, because a handful, you know, and we're probably talking about six retail sites refuse to stock life-saving low aromatic fuel.
Now, for those who don't know, just explain the health impacts of petrol sniffing.
Petrol sniffing leads to a range of things like personal health issues, like brain damage and permanent disability, but also, I think, and very importantly, some major issues in communities, watching a generation of kids essentially sniff their well-being away and behave in lots of very challenging ways as a part of that is a really terrible thing for communities to go through. And I personally have been able to see opal fuel come in to action and alleviate that in many communities, and the enormous turnaround in those communities. So I find it quite frustrating that some communities don't enjoy the benefits of that.
Now, why are those outlets refusing to stock this fuel? You're saying, what, half a dozen holdouts?
Yeah, look, if we got everything we wanted out of this legislation tomorrow, there'd be six retailers affected, because the vast majority of retailers stock opal voluntarily and see the common sense in it. A number of them made submissions to the inquiry. One made a submission that they refuse to serve Aboriginal people anyway, so that's okay. And others said that they didn't think it would work, despite the evidence, and now there's substantial evidence that
someone,
it works.
Someone operating a retail business in this country stood up in front of a Senate inquiry today and said they refused to serve Aboriginal people anyway.
They wrote to the inquiry, and while I don't have the word for word in my head, the tenor of what they said was that they don't serve Aboriginal people at their outlet anyway. So that was one way they saw around the problem.
How extraordinary. What are some of the other reasons that outlets refuse to stock opal fuel?
The individual retailers, and look, there's no coordinated opposition here, so really we're talking about some individuals who themselves have decided not to implement this life-saving measure, and they're individuals outside of the remote Aboriginal communities that are affected, so they don't have to live with the effects day to day. Some of them say that they don't think it will work, while we know that in fact opal in Central Australia has led to a 94% reduction in prevalence of sniffing. Mm. Some say they are politically opposed. They don't support forcing people to away from having access to things. So there's a range of ideas that retailers have put forward in objection to it, but none of them have been substantial, and none of them have been given any credence by the committee who've investigated.
Are we talking about individual retailers or major fuel supply chains?
It is hard to demonstrate any connection to a major provider, but there are some that are brand named by major fuel outlets.
Is there potential for having the suppliers of these outlets to make the call on the behalf of those businesses to have opal fuel replace regular fuel?
We certainly will continue to call on the national suppliers to take some responsibility, because ultimately all fuel in Australia does come from a major supplier, and the fuel that is getting sniffed in these outlets, it's hard for us to nail down which one it's coming from, is coming from one of those sites. So I think there is a role for industry there. Equally, industry have done a very good job in getting the vast majority of retailers on board, and I think we have to balance it against that and the good work that has been done. But the reality is that in a number of communities today and tomorrow, there'll be sniffing because an individual retailer has chosen not to implement a life-saving measure, and this report finds there's no good reason for that.
What sort of populations are we talking about around those outlets that are not making the transition?
Pretty small, and indeed the numbers of people sniffing are pretty small, but we tend to think that any number is unacceptable, and certainly the mothers and grandmothers that we brought to talk with politicians directly about this could see, they didn't see any situation under which any level of sniffing was acceptable, given we have this useful, this obvious tool that can fix it. So the communities are reasonably small, sort of 2 to 400, and the numbers of people sniffing will vary from 2 to 10, but our experience is, and this is the evidence that community members gave at the inquiry, that it can really take off at any time. So any number is really unacceptable, and it can grow to a large number overnight.
It seems a pretty straightforward public health issue with a pretty ready solution. We'll see what happens with that, Tristan.
Yes, we certainly think that there are good ways we can move forward, and we're hopeful that the governments will choose to act on the recommendations of this inquiry, improve the bill, and get legislation together that they're willing to support.
Tristan, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Tristan Ray is Policy and Project Manager for the Central Australian Youth Link-Up Service. RN Drive 24 after the hour. Jonathan Green with you.